over the years, we have had many new people come to the church, and I often hear many of them ask a question, "Brother, how can I be part of this church? What should I do? Should I just fill up the form?" And for the benefit of many newcomers, and for even those perhaps who have lost a grip on the truth that they heard many years, I want to share with you this morning three truths that are fundamental and that gripped Apostle Paul's life. You know, Apostle Paul was a tremendous man of God. He was saved in a supernatural way. The Lord touched him and changed his life, and he got a revelation how that one is justified by faith in Christ and not by through works. And that's why Apostle Paul proclaimed the truth zealously. And after that, after one is justified by faith, no, there are not many who know the way. And I believe the Lord wants to work in this. He's got a plan for us, brothers and sisters. And you know, there's an expression Apostle Paul used, "According to his power, which works in me mightily." Oh, Apostle Paul opened himself to the Lord after he got saved. And therefore, the Lord could work in him mightily. And there are many who have come here in the last few years. I find some of them are not even saved. And it's good for you, brothers and sisters, to make sure that you are justified by faith and not by works. Not because you come from a good background. You know, it's very good for us to be established. Jesus said, "The wise man digs deep and builds his house on a rock." That means we must have a foundation of repentance, turning from sin, and putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you repent and put your faith in Christ, you are justified by faith. And you know you are accepted by God. But I want to share with you this morning what happens after that. You know, Brother Paul said here in Galatians chapter 2, this wonderful truth. He was so gripped by this truth. And I myself want to be gripped more by this truth. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. And some of you brothers and sisters, since you had a doubt how to be part of the church, you can examine your life on the basis of this truth. Number one, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." What a fantastic statement Apostle Paul made. He said, "I am crucified with Christ." And he says, "I no longer live." And he says, "But Christ lives in me." And he says, "The life which I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, the Lord Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, brothers and sisters, we all got a very, very strong self. Very deceptive. It wants honor, recognition, position. And the self is the root of all our problems. That is why the Lord wants to deal with ourselves. The root cause of all our problem is ourselves. And the Holy Spirit wants to deal with ourselves. Little by little, daily, steadily. And I heard, you know, the mark of a man who's on the cross, he has only one direction. And he can't go back. And he has no plans of his own. And that's how Jesus lived on this earth. "I came from heaven," he said, "not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father who sent me." And because Jesus lived like that steadily, not my own will, but the will of the Father till the end of his life, the Father could say, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." When my will crosses God's will and I choose God's will, that's how I know I'm taking up the cross. Brothers, it's not such a horrible thing. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, to take up the cross is not a horrible thing. You know why? When you take up the cross, when yourself is put to death, you know what happens? Christ lives in you. And that's what the devil would like to hide from many people. They think, oh brother, I've got to take up the cross. And I want to highlight the wonderful truth. Apostle Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus is manifest even in a mortal body. Oh, that's the goal, brothers and sisters. In a short time, God can work in us so mightily, if you allow Him, so that we become crucified brothers and sisters. That's a wonderful work God can do in us. Just imagine, you got saved, and you come to the church, and you let the Lord work in you, so that you can in a short time say, I have become a crucified brother, crucified sister. And you know, then there is peace in your life, then there is silence in your life, then God works in you, He changes you, and then your life becomes more and more pleasing to the Lord. Your will is denied. You no longer want to do what you like, what you want. You give up all your plans. How wonderful to submit to God's will like that. So many people are confused about God's will. Show me a brother who can say like Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. And I can tell you that his life will be wonderful. His life won't be boring. His life won't be dragging. And I want to challenge you this morning, brothers and sisters. The Lord wants to bring you to a place where you're crucified with Christ. You still want to join the church this morning? Do you want? Will you let the Lord work in you so that you can be crucified? All your plans, your ambitions, everything has to disappear and say, Lord, I'm here. Say, do your will. And I want to say the Lord needs such brothers and sisters. You know, we are so many in number. Sometimes there's a kind of a mixture. We have people who come newly. We have people who have been here long. And sometimes, and that's how a church can become weak. Because we don't have many people who are so gripped by the way of the cross. And that's exactly what the devil wants to hide from us. You can come to the church, you can listen to all the messages, you can help practically, but you can miss the main thing to learn to let the Holy Spirit work in you, to be a crucified brother and sister so that God can have His own way, His will, so that He can fulfill His purpose in you, so that your life will not be a waste. I want to ask you again, all of you brothers and sisters, who want to be part of the church? Is that the reason why you want to join the church? To let the Lord crucify you, your own plans and purposes. I know the silence, not many. I hope you'll change your mind this morning. We want only such people in this church who say, Lord, that's the way I want to go, Lord. Till the time you give me on this earth, I want to be focused. I don't want to go back. I want to follow you, Lord. Every day, giving up my will, submitting to your plan and purpose. And I want to encourage you this morning. Then it will go very, very well with you. God can do some wonderful work in you and change you. And make you a glorious brother. And He can fulfill His plan and purpose in you. And you would not have wasted your life. And maybe say, Lord, work in me, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to come to a place where I can say boldly, not just the Lord forgave my sins, not just the Lord gave me a job and a partner, but Lord, I've given up my plans and my ambitions, and now I'm here on this earth only to do your will. And I want to say we need more such brothers and sisters, not this compromising type of people who just come along to the meeting, who just want their names to be in the telephone list. I hope, brothers and sisters, for you, that won't be important for you. And I hope you'll say, Lord, please work in me, Lord. Help me, Lord, lead me this way of the cross so that the life of Jesus can be manifested even in me, even while here I am on this earth. Can I hear amen for that? Yeah. And number two, you know, Apostle Paul was gripped by one more wonderful truth. And we read that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. They belong to Christ, brothers and sisters. It says, they that belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with afflictions and lusts. You know, it says here, verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, our main problem is our flesh. It says, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit wars against the flesh. And after we become a disciple, at least we are chosen to be a disciple, you know what is the result? You say, Lord, I don't want to live after my flesh. You want to join the church? Do you have a desire? I don't want to live after my lust. I also want to ask all the brothers and sisters who have been here for some time, how has it been? Can you say, this is the reason why I joined the church? I want to belong to Christ. I want every bit of my flesh to be crucified. And say, Lord, I submit myself to you. Work in me, Lord, so that I become a crucified person. My lust has got to lose its power. You know, when people join, when people become a Christian, we say, yeah, brother, come to the church regularly, read the Bible, pray, witness. That's wonderful. But you got to do something more than that, brothers and sisters. You got to become a crucified person so that you don't fulfill your own lust. I'm not going to go into all the details written here. Verse 19. What are the works of the flesh? You know, during the week, we all are tempted by our lusts. And the Holy Spirit has come to help us to put to death the deeds of the body. And there are not so many who yield themselves to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit faithfully. Many come to the meetings. Many come to help the church. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you really belong to Jesus? If you really belong to Jesus, even if your name is not on the telephone list, I want to tell you, you will be a crucified brother, hating your flesh, hating your lusts. And you know what will happen to you? Shall I tell you? You keep going that way, you will make progress. And God will bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, as written here, verse 22 onwards. Something will be manifest. Something will be put to death. Something will be manifest. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness and self-control. And not only that, it says here, verse 21, of which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, if you walk out of the flesh, even if you come to the church, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if you say, Lord, please help me through your Spirit, I want my flesh to be crucified, and I offer myself. And if, when you let the Holy Spirit work in you mightily, powerfully, and when your flesh is crucified, the kingdom of God grows in you. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. How wonderful, brothers and sisters, here on earth, to inherit the kingdom of God. So that you can say, I got a foretaste of the kingdom of God. Now God rules over me. He controls me. Not my flesh. Not my lust. Not myself. How wonderful to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit, and to continue like that, day after day after day, and to be able to say, this is the only way I want to go. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to backslide. I'm going to go steadily forward this way. And all those who see you, will say, this brother is possessing the kingdom of God more and more. It's going well with him. He's steady. He's stable. God's changing him. And I believe that's the privilege of everyone in the church. And oh, may God help us, brothers and sisters, to be so gripped by this truth so that we can say, I don't belong to the flesh. I belong to Jesus. And that's how I belong to the church. And I want to say the Lord wants, the Lord's looking for such faithful brothers and sisters. You know, we're all together. I can't make out who's living after the flesh and who's walking in the spirit. I don't know. But after some time, I know. After some time, it's manifest whether you've been faithful or not. After some years, there's no glow. There's no enthusiasm. There's no fire. There's no zeal. There's no progress. Then that means you've not been faithful in secret to deal with the lust in your flesh. And that means God, you're not allowed God to work in you. Oh, may the Lord find amongst us few faithful brothers and sisters. You know, and this is very, very relevant in our homes. Sometimes, I heard my wife or husband, one of the partners said, "My partner's killing me." Have you heard that expression? Sometimes the wife can say, "My husband is killing me." You know, there's a wonderful verse I want to show you. It says, "For your sake we are put to death all day long." Romans 8. You know this verse? You say, "Oh brother, my wife is irritating me. My husband is irritating me." That's no excuse for you to live after your flesh, dear husband and dear wife. Your partner is helping you so that you can be crucified. And be thankful. Lord, you know the mark of a person who has understood the truth is he hates himself. He doesn't say, "Lord, this person is irritating me." You say, "Lord, what a wretched lust I have in me. I want to hate myself." I've not met many people like that who can say, "Oh, wretched man that I am. I hate myself. Lord, help me." You don't hate your partner. You don't hate the other person who is causing you trouble. You hate your own self. And the Lord comforts you. The Lord gives you strength then. And then you will find the other person doesn't bother you more and more. You learn to deal with yourself, the problems with yourself, with your own lust. And when you learn to deal with it, you find the way of progress. And that's how the mystery of the kingdom of God is revealed to you. And then it gets better and better. Then you sow to the Spirit. And then you'll get a wonderful harvest. It says here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I believe all those who walk this way can say, "I'm going to get a good harvest." I like to hear some good testimonies like that. God's going to give me a good harvest because this is the way I've chosen, the way of the cross, death to myself, death to my lust, and it's going to get better. The kingdom of God's going to increase in me. The fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifest in me long before I depart from this earth. And the third truth we want to be gripped by is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Apostle Paul was gripped by these three truths. First thing he said, "I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live." And number two, he says, "All those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts." Number three, he said, Galatians 6:14, "God forbid that I should glory or boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." As I said, you want to join the church to learn how to be crucified to the world? Or you found a boy or a girl in the church, that's why you're coming? Or you say, "Oh brother, I can put my children in the Sunday school." Or some people say, "The church is just near my house, brother." Is that the reason you want to join the church? Or you say, "I am crucified to the world. And the world is crucified to me. And this is what I'm interested in." I hope you still want to join the church this morning. You know, the Lord wants to make a difference between the church and the world. The church consists of brothers and sisters who are totally separate from the world. Like Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, we have not received the Spirit of the world. I wish all those who want to be part of the church can say boldly, I have not received the Spirit of the world. I want to ask you this morning, have you brought the Spirit of the world into the church? Or can you say, after I came to the church, the Spirit of the world has been driven out of me? One godly brother said, the fashions of the world come first, straight to the church. He's been a godly brother for many, many years. He's no more. I never forget that word. You think the fashions of the world don't come in so easily? You see in the weddings how quickly it's manifest. How did they get it? From where did they learn? Not because they were crucified to the world. Because their heart was in the world. They had the Spirit of the world. And they got manifest. We don't judge them. But we don't want that Spirit to have power in the church. Jesus could say in John 17, 14, 16, I am not of the world. Brothers and sisters, we want more such people in the church who can say, I am not of the world. You know what encouraged me recently? It's not only Jesus. If Jesus says, I'm not of the world, you will say, yeah, brother, Jesus was wholehearted. You know, but what Jesus said was 14. John 17, 14, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. What a fantastic thing Jesus could tell about his disciples. They are not of the world. I hope we can say that about all sitting here. They are not of the world. I don't think I can say, I'm sorry, this morning. I can't tell about everybody sitting here. They are not of the world. I don't know. I'm sorry to say that. Yeah, because we got a mixture. But I believe the Lord wants to work in us so that we can say boldly, I don't belong to the world. I don't have interest in this world. The world's interest has been crucified to me. I want to do God's will. And you know, James said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. The more you hate the world and its lusts and passions, you get friendship with God. And John said, 1 John 2:15, don't love the world, its fashions. You know, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not the... If you don't love the world, you get the love of the Father. How wonderful, brothers and sisters. The more you're separate from the world, we live in the world, but we are not of the world. We live in the world, we don't love the world. We live in this world, we don't let the spirit of the world contaminate us. The Lord's looking for such brothers and sisters who can say boldly, God works in me through His Spirit. And many times the spirit of the world comes powerfully through the sisters. I'm not saying the brothers are superior, but some of the sisters seem to yield easily to the spirit of the world. And you sisters, you got an opportunity to overcome. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Imagine to have brothers and sisters who can say, the spirit of the world can't enter in me. Jesus said, the prince of the world comes, there's nothing to, just can't enter in me. And we want such brothers and sisters. We want such people in this church who can say, not just I'm coming to this church for so many years, I couldn't care less for how long you're coming. Can you say boldly, after I came to the church, I learned to be a crucified man to myself. I learned to crucify my lusts. I learned to be crucified to the world. And not only that, to be able to say, this is the only way I go forward, steadily, consistently, zealously, faithfully. And brothers and sisters, I want to say, there's a wonderful future for all such brothers and sisters. Christ will be manifest in you. The kingdom of God will be manifest in you. The fruit of the Spirit will become your own nature. Love of the Father will be in you. You will have the friendship of God. And Lord James said, true religion is to visit the fathers, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You have a desire in your heart, Lord, I want to keep myself unspotted. It's like a married woman going to work. Yeah, she goes to work in the office, she works with many men, but She keeps herself unspotted from all the other men. You have such a spirit in your heart, brothers and sisters. I live in this world, but I want to keep myself unspotted. That's the spirit of the bride. Oh, may the Lord, maybe let the Lord work in us. You know, it says in Titus, how the grace of God has come to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. There are worldly lusts that are pulling us. But the Spirit also works in us to deny them. And if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we overcome the spirit of the world. And so that we can say, my heart is only for the Lord, my Savior, my Master, my Bridegroom. And He becomes more and more precious to us. Oh, may the Lord give us grace. Say, Lord, You're enough for me. Yeah, I live in this world like we sing the song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I live in this world. Yeah, I have to work. We have many responsibilities in this earth. But I don't love this world. And I'm living on this earth to do God's will, to fulfill His plan and purpose. And brothers and sisters, maybe open our hearts to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit to let them so work in you so that when you die, they can say at a funeral service, He was a crucified man. Christ lived in him. Christ was manifest in him. I want to follow His example. Oh, may the Lord, imagine, raise up such wonderful brothers and sisters. A church where we can say, we got some crucified brothers and sisters in this church. That's the true church. Oh, may the Lord help us mightily. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Lord, we thank You for Your word this morning, and we pray, Lord, You will help us, Lord, to so yield ourselves to You that You will work in us mightily, powerfully, that our self can be crucified, our flesh can be crucified, this world can be crucified, and that Your Spirit can, Lord, triumph over us and raise up some glorious brothers and sisters, Lord, who can truly be crucified, brothers and sisters, who can strengthen the church so that Your name can be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There's a song that we sing, I think, sometimes here, that the way of the cross leads home. And what we heard this morning, we can feel that, oh, this is too much. I can't go this way. But the way of the cross leads home. There's no other way, my brothers and sisters. And it doesn't end there. It's not just a crucified life. It speaks then, Hebrews chapter 12, that Jesus endured the cross. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. So there's the joy. And the life that God has called us to live on this earth is a glorious life. Jesus' life didn't end at the cross. It didn't end at the grave. He rose again from the dead. And that's the life that Jesus, that God calls us to. That we live a resurrection life on this earth and experience the power of His resurrection. I want you to recognize that this morning. I want to show you something which can be an example, an illustration of the life that God calls us to. But before that, I just noted what Brother Newton read, and I want to read that to you from the Message Bible. We heard about being crucified with Christ, about crucifying the flesh with its lust. I want to read that word in the Message Bible in Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians in chapter 5, it says, those who are led by the Spirit, it says, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And that is the answer. In the Message, it says, why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? Erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence, living by laws, rules, and regulations. It goes on to say, it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion. You know, this is all which is there in the version we have from verses 18 onwards. Paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a revival, thinking that everyone is against you. That's what it means. So all these are the flesh, by the way. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I warned you. You know, if you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. God has called us to a glorious life, my brothers and sisters. What we heard this morning is the way to that glorious life. And God wants to bless us. Not just that we think, oh, I have to crucify my flesh. I have to be crucified to the world. No, the life that God calls you and me to is a glorious life. And I want you to see, if you turn to Joshua in chapter 15, I want to show you something on the screen now. And it's an answer to prayer. Just hold on, Padma, a minute. But I want you to learn something in what we heard this morning. God wants to lead us to a glorious life. I want to read this word first before we see what I want to show you. And that's in Judges 15. Joshua 15 also comes in Judges 1. And it says there in verse 15, that speaks about Caleb. You know, Caleb was a wonderful man. A man of faith. You know, mind you, there were two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who did not have the same spirit as the other 10, who said, we can defeat the giants, we can take the land. They thought they were grasshoppers. Caleb and Joshua said, no, God is with us, they'll be our food. You know, and that's how it is in among believing Christendom. Those who have faith to go the way that we heard this morning, to enter into God's kingdom, to take hold of the land. Caleb was one such man. And praise God, he had also a son like him. In verse 14, it says, Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak. You know, these were the giants. And he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sepher. And Caleb said, the one who attacks Kiriath Sepher and captures it, I will give him Aksah, my daughter, as a wife. Otniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it, so he gave him Aksah, his daughter, as a wife. Otniel, you know, was Caleb's nephew. And it came about that when she came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you want? I want to underline this word for all of us. Then she said, give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. And if you turn, keep your finger there and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The life that we are called to live, like we heard this morning, says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. And the only way that I can give a blessing, if I go the way of the cross, if I'm crucified with Christ, if I'm crucified to the world, and if I crucify my flesh, I can give a blessing because it says there, you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And that's what I want to add to all that we heard this morning. We have been called not just to live a crucified life on this earth, but to inherit a blessing. God has called you and me to inherit a blessing so that I can bless others. And oh, to have the spirit of this sister, Caleb's daughter, and Othniel. They said, give me a blessing. We're not satisfied with the land. I want a blessing. And she got what she asked for. The same thing is there in Judges in chapter 1. It's the same record. The Holy Spirit has recorded it twice so that you and I can believe what we read in 1 Peter chapter 3. We are called not just to live a crucified life, but to be a blessing. To give a blessing to others. That's God's purpose. Just like this woman. And she had a husband who had the same faith. Oh, to have such married couples in our midst like that. I'm not satisfied in getting the land. I want a blessing. I'm not satisfied in being saved and knowing that my sins are forgiven. I want a blessing. I'm not satisfied in being crucified to the world, being crucified with Christ and crucifying my flesh. I want a blessing. How many among us want that? I hope you'll be like Exa and Othniel. You know, we prayed for a land. We've been praying for 3 years. And God gave us marvelously. I shared that last Wednesday with those who came to the meeting. And also the past weeks you've heard that. And the wonderful land that God has given us, the property that God has given us. And the testimony that we can have to the people selling us the land. And I believe that God has a purpose more than just giving us a property, that man and his family will be saved. And the man who lives there, the Nepalese man with his family, will also be saved. And many people will be saved because they can come and drink from springs of water. And that's what I want you to see. Okay, Padma. This is the land. We prayed, I told you that we wanted to dig a bore well and get water there because water is a precious commodity nowadays. And there's so little of it in Bangalore. God gave us an abundance here. But I wondered why I'm showing you this, not only to encourage you, but the answer to prayer, that God has answered our prayers more than what we ever imagined. But I want you to see from this that this is the life that God calls you and me to live on this earth.